You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba.
Phone.
Yes. Lamp.
It's a winter a go-go here with John and Gordy, man.
Yeah. Still winter out there. It looks nice, though. We've got a lot of sunshine all across the state, but still pretty chilly. Although we're making slow but steady progress as far as the temperatures go. We've got a contest to do here, and then we'll get to our phones. 855-752.
Well, we could have tried, you know, communicating before we got on the air.
I'll take the blame on that. That might be on me.
That's fine.
But we'll get the Cornell in
just a little while. Our caller will stand by while we try to give away. Oh, okay.
Yeah. You found the kink in the plan here?
I did find the kink in the plan. Now, should we take the call first?
Let's take the call first. We'll bring Winter Go-Go back.
Okay, we're calling an audible here. Okay. Sorry about that. That's my bad. All right, let's go to the phones.
Boy, do I have to do everything around here?
I don't know, I guess.
Actually, I won't. Cornell, what do you got for
us?
What's
on your mind?
Yeah.
Well, it's pretty important. It's kind of upsetting that, well, this was on Tom Harmon's show and reported by Phil Lidner that Musk is helping Russia bomb Ukraine, and the thing is that Musk is using Starlink.
Oh, yeah.
And we have to call our reps to have them shut down Starlink because Russia keeps killing the civilians. Every week he's killing civilians, children.
Mm. See, you're suggesting a protest, basically, shut down Starlink in the area.
Yes. Yep. Well, you can ask Jim if we can charge Elon Musk with the Espionage Act of 1917.
There you go.
Aiding the enemy is treasonous and can lead to prison and execution. It's called the Espionage Act of 1917. But I'm asking the representatives to call to get Musk to shut down the Starlink system, because this helps Russia kill more children.
Yeah.
And they knocked out the power, and the power has been out for 2 weeks. Even Phil Lidner's living over there. He's a great reporter.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And he said even that Musk shut down Starlink for Ukraine, because way back they said, if you don't sign the mineral deal, we're going to shut down Starlink. So what's going on with this Elon Musk?
Yeah.
You know, what I'm just saying is we got to get this Starlink should be shut down because he's aiding the enemy, and I'm saying he should be charged with the violating the Espionage Act of 1917. So that's all I want to say. Thank you for getting it on.
All right. Well, I'm glad you brought that up. I missed the program today, but that is a really good question.
It's a big story, yes.
We'll ask Jim.
Yeah.
And see if there's something that can't be done. After all, he is helping the enemy at this point.
Right. Yeah. That's got a lot of international cross currents to it.
Because it does. Musk, it may be difficult that way as well.
Well, Starlink, you know, is that a U.S.
operation? It's a global. Well,
it's his, right?
It is.
It's his operation.
See, I don't know.
And it's international. And boy, he's got a lot of military contracts.
He does.
In his back pocket. So how do you
maybe threaten the military contracts if he doesn't stop?
Yeah,
shutting down.
Interesting.
Or doesn't shut down Starlink at least, and stop helping Russia.
Yeah.
In regards to that, I know he stopped. I know he shut him down in Ukraine.
Did he?
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
Well, I thought he put him back up. You know, it's on and off, on and off. We don't know when this administration is backing Ukraine and when it isn't.
Right. Yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's shift gears here and
let's go back.
Go back in time.
Winter
to
go-go.
Winter and go-go.
You never would have predicted that.
Okay. Why are we playing this? Well, because we want to get you out of this winter weather and into someplace nice and warm like Chula Vista. with an overnight stay for you and a bunch of friends. They have included 6 water park passes with this. It's an overnight stay, and you could be the winner. And we're going to give that away here in just a moment. But we just have one condition. You can give us a call and tell us a good news story, okay? That's the deal. 855-752-4842. Tell us something good that happened to you or that you witnessed, or maybe somebody in your family helped somebody out. You can call us right now, 855-752-4842. It's an overnight stay at Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells. And we'll take your calls now. All right?
All right.
Oh, they're lining up right now. Okay.
I did find out that Starlink is still being used in Ukraine.
Okay.
All right.
It is.
All right. Russia has also begun adapting technology for its own longer-range precision-guided drones, prompting Ukraine to work with SpaceX to address that particular issue.
Okay. All right. Parker is lining up somebody here, and I think it's a caller from Milwaukee is our winner. Hang on a second. I think we'll get the information from her in a moment. Parker, tell her we're going to put her on the air. Is it Michelle? Michelle, are you there? Michelle from Milwaukee. Hello, hello.
Hello.
Hi. Congratulations. Yeah. Tell us a good news story, yeah. Michelle. What's good in your life?
Well, my good news story was at Christmas time. I'm retired, and so I'm living just off of Social Security, which isn't a whole lot. And so I was only going to be able to buy for the kids this year, my nieces and nephews and grandnieces and nephews, instead of my sisters and the grown nieces. But anyway, I happened to join this Walmart thing, and they flashed up like a week before Christmas or 2 weeks before Christmas some incredible bargains, like $200 items for $12.
Wow.
And so I was able to get a gift for everybody this year, and that's the most wonderful thing for me for Christmas is to give.
Well,
so.
Good for you. That's good really for you, Michelle. Nice that's our good news yeah. story. Congratulations yeah. to you.
Yes.
You're going to get those Chula Vista Park passes to stay overnight there and enjoy the water park. So hang on the line here, Michelle, and we'll get all the information we need to get. To get those passes okay. to you.
Okay? Yeah, live it up like a billionaire, Michelle.
There you go. Congratulations. Okay. All right.
You have to be a billionaire to enjoy yourself.
Very good. Okay.
All right.
Now,
I wanted to kind of get to a little bit of the massive investment in AI. Okay, I have this little cartoon here, and I wanted to mention it.
A cartoon?
Yes, it's a cartoon. It's like one side says this, the other side says that.
Okay.
And it says, there's a CEO saying, who are we? And on the other side are the CEOs. And what do we want? And they say, AI. And the guy goes, AI to do what? And they shout, we don't know. And the other guy says, well, all right. What do we want it for? Well, we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, that's the cartoon
that's
I interrupted
it.
This whole program for.
Yeah, you know, really, that just.
I know. It just makes you warm, doesn't it? Okay, well, here's the thing. I wanted to bring this up.
It points out that we don't know.
We don't know anything.
There's so much more we don't know about AI than we do know.
There is so much criticism for AI and these data plants.
Right.
And it really is something that just came out of nowhere for me. And
yes.
I'm pretty much up on technology.
Yeah.
But I want to get to this. This is something that happened in Wisconsin a little while ago.
Yeah.
But there was a really nice or a great story, not exactly a great story. It's a horror story from a Wisconsin rural woman who told the story to former Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg at a town hall in La Crosse. Remember he was up there?
Yep.
Talked to a lot of people up there, but I thought this story stood out for me. And, of course, now we...
we'd like to play that for you right now.
Cut
Parker.
247. Yeah, He's got it ready to go.
My name is Kendra. I'm going to build on that.
Here we go. Yeah.
So my husband and I are here from a little rural village, about 30 families. There are no rapists or murderers in our families, but ICE is there. For the last 7 days, we are exhausted because we got a call on Friday night that a babysitter in the local mobile home park had a two-month-old baby that hadn't picked up, been picked up for 3 days. The next night, in the middle of the night, we got a call that the tomato farm an hour that way, ice had trapped people on top of the roof for 7 hours. Do you all remember how cold it was a couple nights ago? 7 hours. But we were already, like our little group that was mobilized in this little town, we were already dealing with things and we didn't have anybody else. Can you help convince everybody that we have to organize locally very, very fast?
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
That,
I know, what a story.
There are a lot of stories like that out there. And that's the kind of trauma I think this president is putting on everybody in this country at this point.
Yeah, and Pete Buttigieg was up there in La Crosse, and really, that was quite a town hall that he had. Mm-hmm. He was on with Jen Psaki last night on MS
yes,
Now.
He was, yeah.
And pretty much talking about the situation in Minneapolis and everything else going on in the country. But I'm going to get some sound from that show, perhaps from last night, because he was really getting into the weeds about looking beyond what we're going through right now. And what are we going to do? Because eventually, you know, this term of office and this administration is going to either pay the price for it or or we're going to pay the price for it.
That's right.
Being under control by it almost all the time.
I want to play this. This is a fundraising letter that was brought to attention from Midas Touch.
Okay.
Charisse Lee is telling this story, and this is cut 422. All right.
Trump might have just sent his most deranged fundraising email to date with this latest email, where he threatens to send ICE after supporters unless they give him money and prove their citizenship. No, I'm not kidding. The email reads, "I reached out last week about my citizens only survey. Your file says you're a top MAGA patriot, but my records to my survey still say response pending. Don't tell me you're an illegal alien. That cannot be true. This is your final moment to prove me wrong. Please, please, are you a proud American citizen or does ICE need to come and track you down? Take citizens only survey." Let's be clear, both Republicans and Democrats are guilty of sending aggressive fundraising emails and texts, but Trump literally threatening to send ICE after American citizens to try to get money out of them when we've seen two American citizens die in recent weeks as a result of ICE operations is particularly insane. They want us to stop comparing ICE to a modern day Gestapo, yet this email is basically Trump saying, give me your money or else I'll send my Gestapo to personally take you in.
That's
yeah,
exactly
that's where we are.
That's a fundraising letter.
Right.
You feel like in the giving mood?
Yeah.
I don't know. I would doubt that completely. Let's go to the phones right now. Let's talk to Mark out in the sack. Mark, what do you got for us today?
Yeah, well, I texted you, you know, a twist on the song when you guys said top of the world. I mean, you said not a cloud in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
That, of course, is a line from Top of the World, and I kind of texted you a twist on that. That
We saw that. You even did it on YouTube, I believe, too.
No.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah.
That's not quite what I did, but Trump would kick dogs because he doesn't like dogs anyway. And,
right.
And
Mark, can you Mark, we ran out of time here. Sorry, we took your call a little late here. We'll get back to you in just a moment, all right?
Yeah,
right
after this break.
Not a problem.
All right.
Not a problem, brother.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
It's John and Gordy this afternoon in the sandbox, kicking stuff around here.
Taking your calls at 855-752-4842. Let's go back to Mark.
Yeah.
He was hanging on here for a couple of minutes. And Mark, you're back on here. What were we discussing?
We're talking the lyrics to the song.
Oh, yeah.
Lyrics to the song. And I kind of, in some songs, I can just turn them around and you know, kind of twist the lyrics around a little bit to, mm-hmm. you know, that, and it is just pretty horrific. And one thing that's kind of confusing, maybe cleared up. Now, they say that Alex Preti, you know, damaged that ICE vehicle, but was that mm-hmm. before or after they tackled him that day? Because if he kicked that vehicle before they, you know, why wasn't he arrested? Because I saw the taillight assembly come off, and that, yeah. You know, that's something you thought he would get arrested for. But I'm wondering if that happened after they had tackled him and cracked his rib and he was annoyed about that. Is that the reason he was not arrested for, you know, obviously damaging their vehicle? I mean, that I'm
right.
unclear on the timeline there, and that,
yeah.
And that's something that I'm just wondering if they did not arrest him then because they obviously initiated an assault on him and they didn't want to admit to that. But then a week later rolls by, so it gives them an opportunity to execute justice in their eyes. And of course it was cold-blooded murder. I mean, one way or the other, it was cold-blooded murder. And that,
right.
Yeah. The shooting of Renee Good, it was cold-blooded murder. And it is just, we're going to hear nothing but lies from the Trump administration, and that it is
right.
just pretty sad.
Right. I saw that video as well, the one that was shot about a week before the second video where he was killed. And I wondered the same thing. Did he get into the tussle with those guys? And any of those ICE agents, the same ICE agents that were involved in the second incident when he got killed? It's a good question.
Hard to know. But they didn't. They didn't give a timeline. I mean, it happened before or after. I would assume it happened after, because if you have a broken rib, you'll find it very hard to move around. And he was moving around
right.
when he kicked the vehicle.
Right.
So, yeah. Again, I mean.
But I just wonder. Yeah. I just wonder why he wasn't arrested. I mean,
right. I wonder that too.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's
another question.
It's quite the mystery right there. All right.
Mark, thanks for that call.
Thank you.
Take more of your calls at 855-752-4842 or send us a text on the Civic Media app.
All right. Now, this is morphing into vigilantism at this point.
Right.
A man who reportedly told protesters, "We execute one of you yesterday," is now allegedly threatening someone who posted a video. So if you're posting videos now, they're going to try to get hold of you and threaten you. Let's listen to cut 423. This is cut 423. This is their threat. They actually posted this. No masks.
Your video, it was cute. However, the team of Punishers, we got your address. We know who you are. Watch your mouth. You hear me? Commies, stand down. We've broken your signal groups. We've hacked your sites. Wipe your paws off.
Misinformation comes with consequences.
There you go.
That's
what they posted, and they were standing outside an apartment at the time, showing the door of the apartment. So I guess that was suggesting that they already knew where this person lived. And,
okay.
And again, I don't know why these guys were doing it. They did it unmasked. I don't know. All right, now we kind of know who you are.
Right.
But they call themselves the Punishers while appearing, I guess, in front of the doors of the people that they're threatening.
Wow.
By the way, the police are involved, according to the story, so we'll see where that ends up going.
But you talked about the Cigna aspect for this. Where they're tracking people.
Yeah, absolutely. Right? Yeah, we're going to definitely get to that with Jim Santel in just a few moments because we want to find out what's legal, what isn't.
Right.
Letting people know that ICE is in town or where they're staying or what's going on. I don't see anything wrong with it. It sounds like free speech to me.
Mm-hmm.
And whether you use Signal or a telephone call or whatever, text.
Or a whistle.
What
or,
does it matter?
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll ask Jim all about this because I have a video on that. I just want to play a little part of that when Jim is on.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see that. We'll see where that one goes.
Right. Got a couple of minutes here. If you want to jump in quickly, 855-752-4842.
All right. How about this? Trump accounts are now ready for sign up. And this is, this is Scott Bessent. He's talking about it. So let's hear what Scott has to say. It's 427. Let's listen.
Okay.
To all the moms and dads out there that are watching right now, they should sign up now, right, for Trump accounts during this tax season?
We've already had, just in the past few days, 500,000 families sign up. We believe there are about 25 million who are eligible. So go on the IRS website. It's form 4547, and everyone should do it. And it's a great way because you can also, you know, if relatives, rather than giving a toy for a birthday, mm-hmm. for a holiday, they can contribute to these accounts. You know, I think we're going to see a substantial drop in people playing the lottery because you've won the lottery.
Right.
You've got $1,000 and the power of compound interest, mm-hmm. families can add to that. So this is really a new kind of philanthropy. It is direct to children.
Direct to children. I actually think this is a good idea.
Yeah, it could work out.
And you go to the IRS site, form 4547, check it out and see if it applies to you, if it works for you. I have a response for Cam, that cut I just played about the punishers out there, you know, finding people. I didn't say they were ICE, okay?
Okay.
It's a nut job, as you suggested in your text.
Right.
All right, so just to let you know.
But they call themselves the punishers.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. All right. 29 past the hour. We'll take more of your calls. Coming up right around the corner, though, former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel will get to some legal questions, and you can get in on that as well. 855-752-4842. The Midwest Farm Report is next. Then we're back with more of John and Gordy.
Well, we're going to get to that in just a few moments. We talked about the Trump accounts for newborns, Form 4547, and somebody pointed out, I was going to say something about it, I forgot all about it, but yes, skip the toys for next Christmas.
That's right.
You know, that doesn't really work. I mean, you can do that behind the scenes as an adult putting money in the account. The kid's not going to know that or even care. Give him a toy.
Okay.
I'll tell you, that's Scott Bessant. He's really not a warm person at home, okay?
But he ends up on TV a lot because I don't think anybody else wants to go.
Yeah, pretty stiff individual. Okay, yeah. We've got Jim
Santel joins us
from Amicus Law Review, and you can hear Amicus Law Review on the weekends between 9 and 11 o'clock, a fantastic program, live program. You can always give them a call and ask your questions as well. Mm-hmm. We're going to get into something here that I thought was pretty interesting, and we're asking a lot of questions about this now. Mm-hmm. Some people that have been using the software Signal have their Signal chats eavesdropped on, and now they're being threatened by the people who support ICE, and they're threatening them with arrest and obstruction of the ICE agents.
Yeah,
and
apparently this has been happening.
This has been happening
in Minneapolis.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I thought this would be a great way to kind of find out what's legal, what isn't, in regards to your ability of free speech, and letting your fellow community members know when ICE is in town. Jim, what's the story? I sent you the story basically that. But I also have some audio I could play in just a few moments. But what do you got? What do you think?
Sure. You know, the fundamental notion here, of course, is it is the First Amendment, right to speech, right to petition your government for redress of grievances, right for advocacy, assemble, protest, all those kinds of things. It is not an unqualified right, as we have talked on this broadcast many, many times. There are all kinds of limitations to it. Government cannot limit your content unless it is in certain areas that are, for example, inciting violence, that sort of thing. But the answer generally to these kinds of things, you get the same question also about even recording law enforcement, using your phones, all those kinds of things. People are asking lots of these questions. And the answer is, again, you can use these mechanisms. You can use your phone to record visually what is going on. There's nothing unconstitutional about that, nothing illegal about that. And if you're communicating, again, as it appears that folks are around the country, including there right in Minneapolis on Signal, you have a right to do that. You can communicate with other people, including describing where events are taking place, where you're seeing movements. That kind of communication is protected by the First Amendment. with a limitation once again, and that is if during the course of that communication, just like when they're on the telephone, if other communications of various kinds, if I'm inciting violence, if I'm promoting some end that would threaten the safety and security of people, mm-hmm. then you've crossed over, right? And that's basically, we think about what Donald Trump did on January 6th, whether or not, you know, he was inciting violence on that day. That you cannot do. But generally, again, under the Constitution, you've got a right to not only to observe, but record and talk to other people about what you're seeing and what you're doing. Nothing wrong with that. Right. It is concerning, of course, that we've got the director of the FBI saying he's opened an investigation into the chats. Well, again, if there's something illegal that is being promoted, that's one thing. If you're simply trying to inhibit communication, that's quite another. And his investigation in that area, if that's the focus of it, intimidation, is simply unfounded.
Well, there's a lot of intimidation in regards to this because the right wing is responding to this. This is one of their responses. Unhinged leftists claim an independent journalist infiltrated signal chats used to track ICE agents and disrupt their operations, urging people to harass and start changing their usernames and so on and so forth. Let's listen to this particular cut. All right. Here we go.
Hey guys, so the Signal group chats in Minnesota have been compromised. But fortunately, they posted this from their own account with their name, so we can all see who they are and, you know, give them some attention, some love. So this is who's infiltrated those chats, and they're saying that they will release all the names. Stay safe out there. Also, change your number, like, periodically. Disappearing messages every 24 hours. Don't leave a trail, and make sure you're changing your username and your number all the time. Also, burner phones are great.
Okay. Is that something they need to do, or is that just a safety measure for the individuals who were participating in the Signal chats?
Sure. It's safety, but it's also just communication, right? If you want to have some confidence, mm-hmm. Nothing wrong with this, that what you're doing, just like a telephone call, the Signal obviously much more sophisticated, as a reporter there indicated, it comes and goes, you can limit it, all sorts of things. But if you want to be certain that your communication is getting to where it's got to go, then do those things, sure, to make sure that those conduits are protected, and you want to be safe and secure as well. And if there is a concern about that, sure, then make that. It's a very practical thing. The upshot is you can communicate, do those things that you want to do. Mm-hmm. You don't have to do them. Obviously, no one compels you to speak. No one compels you to communicate. But once you do, if you want to do that in a safe and secure mechanism, use those aspects of Signal that permit you to do that. If that means changing your identity and your contact information, mm-hmm. you can go ahead and do that without any problem. But again, it just the entire issue really devolves, and I use that word purposefully, into what's going on here. It is pure communication, mm-hmm. and is our government once again threatening, attempting to chill even the communications there? Is that what these messages are all about? And the threats, of course, in the opposite direction. Also, we run out of adjectives. It's not just unwarranted. Yeah. Threats themselves can be illegal. And all of that, again, as we've said repeatedly, no place in an area of free communication. We can have differences of opinion. We don't threaten each other, and we don't induce violence.
Talking with Jim Santel, former U.S. attorney. We've got a call for you, Jim, here from Milwaukee. Pat is on the line with a question about the video footage on Alex Preti. Pat, sure. Go ahead.
Pat. Yes, good afternoon. I would say, as a citizen, I'm not that concerned that Alex Preti was photographed or videotaped, literally trashing the ICE machine, so to speak. It brings to mind what Jesus did in the temple, trashing the temple and to get rid of the money changers and the corruption. Alex Preti was literally acting in a righteous manner, mm-hmm. and his life was led in a righteous way. That's
absolutely
all I have to say.
All right. Thank you, Ben. I appreciate
right,
that.
Yeah.
You know, Jim, here's the thing, and this, I think, goes to the administration. They have something called NSPM 7. And what it is an edict by the administration to try and find organizations that are left-wing against the current government, calling them terrorists and insurrectionists. That's what they're trying to do. And that's what I'm seeing in the Signal chat, intimidation that we're seeing from the right wing infiltrating their chat. Of course, they've deleted the chat already. I don't know if that you can save that information or not, but they've deleted the chat, and they're going to have a new way of doing it, I guess. But the thing is, they could be investigated by the federal government in regards to this, and be called a terrorist organization.
We see these threats. This is going back to the current president's campaign promise, retribution, right? Mm-hmm. And we see it here plainly, an attempt to intimidate once again. We see it with respect to his prosecutions of his political foes, including, arguably, the folks who are there in Minneapolis, appropriately, in their discretion, fighting back about this. I don't mean that physically. I mean that in terms of protest and doing those other First Amendment things. Here's the point. You don't need a memorandum inside the Department of Justice. It's the commission of the Department of Justice and of other law enforcement agencies to investigate crime. And so if you've got some reasonable suspicion, you have to have more than just, you can't just dislike somebody. If I've got some, even a small scintilla to indicate that there's criminal activity, yes, I can open up a criminal investigation if I've got reason to believe there's criminal conduct. Mm-hmm. Criminal conduct does not include communication, even about unpopular things, even about things that are critical of the government. First Amendment, long stated by the Supreme Court, other courts, saying we tolerate a diversity of views. We tolerate people saying things we don't like that may offend you, may offend me. That's what the First Amendment is about. What we don't do is we don't tolerate speech that advocates for violence. That's where the line is drawn. Yeah. And again, I'm stricken by the fact that for some reason, this administration thinks it needs to issue it tells us what they're doing, also plainly meant to intimidate, to let you know, yes, we're looking at you. And that's the purpose of it. But the fact that they're issuing it at all underscores that that's the purpose of it. Because if they really had a criminal purpose, had really identified some criminal activity, someone inciting the overthrow of the government, someone inciting violence, then you simply open the file and you pursue it as you normally do. You don't need a directive. You don't need an executive order. You don't need a memorandum telling law enforcement to do its job. All of that, of course, in a time of normalcy. This is not that time. We are in a different time in America, and the rules in many ways no longer apply.
All right, Jim, I know that it gets into the area of people opposing this administration and then, of course, talking about it. And how do we get rid of these people? How do we talk? How do we vote them out? What can we do to oppose them? And that would be taking down the government, essentially, to them. It would be an insurrection for them, right?
Right, right. And there are you just identified the two aspects of it. January 6th was an attempt to bring the government down, right? That was a riot. That was an insurrection.
Yeah.
Advocating for a change in government, frankly, Thomas Jefferson did that, right?
Yes.
All right, others. And advocating to vote in 10 months from now for people who would change the Congress, advocating in 3 years from now for a presidential candidate, all those kinds of things. That's not insurrection. That's advocating for a change in the way that my government, our government, your government is operating. I can advocate for issues in the public domain. I can do it privately. All of that is protected, and none of it should be intimidated or inhibited by conduct that suggests that, gee, if you say those things, if you appear, if you talk these ways, we're going to open up a file on you. Mm-hmm. And that, again, I've often said this, it's the investigation which is the punishment. There is no criminal lawsuit there. There is no viable civil lawsuit.
Scares a lot of people. Just, yeah.
Right? We scare a lot of people. And that's what this administration has done with everyone from Letitia James and James Comey to Jay Powell, to people on the streets of Minneapolis, sending the message, you better be looking over your shoulder. That's not what government is all about. They should be doing just the opposite. I look to a civil rights division these days inside the Department of Justice, which should be promoting these things, including investigating both of these horrific deaths in Minnesota. That should be in the ambit right now of the civil rights division. And yet they're not doing that, and instead going in just the opposite direction. Lots of very, very head turned upside down situations here.
Jim, we got more questions for you, and
we'll go to Fulton County next.
Yeah, we've got that. And what was Tulsi Gabbard doing there, along with some other questions for Jim Santel? We'll join the conversation. We'll resume the conversation after this. Stay with us.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
It really is upside down, isn't it?
Everything's upside down.
This is John and Gordy in the afternoon. We're talking to our special guest, Jim Santel from Amicus, the Law Review. You can hear his program on Saturdays, 9 to 11.
Mm-hmm. Jim, we had a question here. Cam was talking about this a little bit as well. The other day, the FBI raided that election office in Fulton County, Georgia. Nobody really knows why. And also, Tulsi Gabbard, the National Intelligence Director, was on hand. What, for, we don't know why about
either. Well, she called shotgun, so,
Cash Patel busy? I don't know.
Right, lots of questions here, and then lots of reasons to scratch our heads before we know everything there. But again, obviously, that confirmed the FBI has executed the search warrant, Fulton County, Georgia, records relating to the 2020 election. Okay, that's the first thing that jumps out to me, which is, again, and we need to talk again, regrettably, or maybe positively, about the basis for a search warrant. Some magistrate judge, presumably in Atlanta, someplace in Georgia, we'll get back to that in just a moment or so, has found probable cause to believe that there is some evidence of crime there. Okay. We've got a 5-year statute of limitations with respect to 2020, which suggests to me that if the magistrate judge is right, there's something new in those records. Is there? We don't know. We don't know what this is all about. It is interesting to note as well that the case is being handled not by the U.S. attorney there in the district in Georgia, but by another designee of the attorney general, who happens to be Thomas Elbus. He's interim U.S. attorney in Missouri, in eastern Missouri. So he petitions for this, goes to a magistrate judge, presumably in Georgia, gets this warrant. And the concerns also, we've seen this before, are okay. Judicial authorization to take these things. All this is under seal yet. That's why we don't have a lot of answers to this. But a huge amount of concern by the state election officials about the chain of custody and legitimacy of those documents. You come in, you seize all this from 5 years ago, and it's been preserved securely, safely.
So far.
And now it's no longer in the custody of those people who are responsible for keeping it that way. Comes into the FBI. I've no doubt they'll run into a federal court here and seek an order that compels the FBI to maintain things as they are. But once they're no longer in the chain of custody there, in Georgia, what happens to those documents? I didn't used to speak
Mar-a-Lago.
About the FBI this way, but that's the concern. What happens now? Yeah. The people who have the legitimate ownership of them no longer have them. For what purpose? To what end? And why is the Director of National Intelligence there? What is that about?
Wasn't it Fulton County? Is that where Trump was shopping around for 11,000 more votes? Was that
absolutely
that case?
Okay. Right. Picked up the phone, and this is where this comes from again. So, and again, repeatedly, and just to be clear again for all your listeners, Georgia's been the subject of, by my count, at least 2, if not 3 accounts, including hand counts. The ballots were clear that the current president did not win in 2020, and that Joe Biden did. Are we just going back to try to revisit that again? And if it is, it's an abuse of the law enforcement process in terms of securing a search warrant. There's got to be something current. It's got to be evidence of a crime of some kind. Hmm. 60 judges around the country found that the votes were not stolen. What is this about? And what are we doing now? We will presumably get some answers at some point coming up.
Yeah.
Well, it just seems like they're setting this up for maybe the 2026 election, where they're going to sweep in and take a lot of voting machines out, just like they did now.
Mm-hmm. And maybe that's the message. And frankly, that is law enforcement abuse, what you just described, John. Mm-hmm. If that's the reason for your doing this, to intimidate something in the future, that's not a legitimate law enforcement purpose inside the Department of Justice or any place else. Again, I'll be fascinated to see the affidavit in support of probable cause to believe that there is a current, viable, recent federal crime that will be revealed in those records from 2020. What does that look like? And what is the basis for it? Magistrate judge said yes, gave authorization. But again, the standard's fairly low on that. It's probable cause. And this is far from over. Again, we don't know much about this other than to say lots of questions.
Now, this is Dominion, right? These machines?
You know, I think that it may well be, but my sense is that these are the Georgia records. And
yeah.
the machines used to count the ballots.
Okay.
And we talked about that. These are the official records of the state of Georgia memorialized. We've got them here in Wisconsin, other places.
Yes.
And they've now been seized by the federal government. That's what's going on here. Yeah.
All right. And I was going to say that the machines are owned by a right winger now all of these different states. So, you know, it's something where it could be like, this is the distraction. We're going to change the machines. We're going to gear them for 2026. And you won't be looking. You won't be, noticing anything different. But in fact, while we are distracted by 2020, they're doing something for 2026.
Well, the Dominion, the old Dominion, before they sold it to that right-wing guy, had to pay $787 million to Fox on that defamation lawsuit.
For stating the machines were not accurately counting, and they were, at least then, right?
Yes, at least
and
then.
But this will come back, and again, everything old is new again. And again, it just sends this message to America that voting is no longer secure, and your vote no longer means, and that's simply not true.
Yeah.
And again, shame on our government to the extent that they're doing this here, other places, for sending the messages that once again suggest to people, my vote doesn't count because it will be disregarded or discarded entirely.
Yeah.
No, just the opposite. You need to vote, and you need to ensure that representative government continues in America.
Okay. Well, Jim, we need to leave it there. Check out Jim Santel and Amicus, a law review every Saturday from 9 to 11 on the Civic Media Network. Just go to civicmedia.us. Always a pleasure, Jim.
Gentlemen, I'm pleased to be with you once again.
Yep.
Take care.
All right. Talk to you again soon. Coming up in our 4 o'clock hour, Rocker will join us with a Max Inc. preview. It's all coming up on
and
John and Gordy.
We got Jesse Ventura as well.
So. Oh, yeah. Oh, stay with us.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.